Welcome back to another edition of Talk Nerdy to Me. I am your host, Troy Stegner, and I have one of our featured guests for El Paso Comic-Con 2021 here. You can see her to my right, Miss Naomi Grossman. How are you doing, Naomi?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. We you're coming to El Paso Comic-Con 2021. We had you scheduled for 2020 before the world ended. What have you been doing to keep busy during that time?
Well, I am pleased to say I've put my time to good use. I somehow resisted the urge to do puzzles and bake bread. And I wrote myself a new one-man show. So I've got a new Netflix comedy special that Netflix just doesn't know about yet.
Can you tell us anything about that, or is it NDA?
No, I mean, it's my baby. So if I want to talk about it, it's called American Horror Story. And it's W-A-R-E. It's my own autobiographical story. It's kind of the third in the trilogy. I've written two solo shows prior to this. Also autobiographical, just were pre-pepper. So they were, people don't necessarily know about those yet, but they will definitely know about this one. This is a kind of what's my elevator pitch? autobiographical anthology of tales of self-compromise. The horror. story. This is less of a promiscuous horror and more of a hustler horror. We see me pre-pepper, post-pepper, as pepper, sort of in my, pursuits. So I think it's definitely kind of a love letter to fans and the show, and I think they're going to get a real kick out of it. So I'm excited. It pretty much took like a good 9 months to write. Like a baby, kind of my own little birthing process. And now I've been memorizing it for about the last three months now. So it's been a whole year's process, but it's really been like just have something to really focus on. Before I was just focusing on not drowning myself in the pool, so... This is a little healthier, just a wee bit.
I guess that's one method of therapy.
Yes, indeed, it is.
Yes.
Gary Fisher said, take your broken heart and turn it into art. There's definitely some broken heart in this. I've got some boyfriends that are going to be real unhappy, but, you reap what you sow. So...
Yeah, and for those who don't know, as she mentioned, American Horror Story, you played two really iconic characters in that series, Pepper, who was in two seasons, and the Satanist Samantha Crowe. And those characters were so completely different from each other. How did you approach getting ready to play each one of those since they were so diverse?
Well, I tend to... focus different they are. I like to think of how similar they are to myself. And, obviously physically Pepper and I don't have a whole lot in common. I do relate. I love to play. And, I think she has still... a huge heart and a sense of sort of a whimsy and wonderment of the world. And I share that. So, and actually similarly, with Samantha Crowe, which, a lot of people are like, oh, how nice you get to play yourself. And I'm like, well, I don't really stab virgins, in my spare time. So it's not like I was playing myself. Although I did read the Satanic Bible, and I'm not gonna lie, there were some things that I could kind of relate to in that. I remember, like, I would read it, like, out in the pool on a floaty toy, and I kept one, like, hoping my neighbors wouldn't, you know, walk by and ask what I was reading. But, you know, there's, again, I'm not preaching Satan, okay? But there's really, like, this fierce individualism within that whole ideology, and that is like we should be having, you know, bushies. We should be living our lives, and I kind of relate to that, not the blood part. Maybe, you know, depending upon the company, maybe not even the orgy part. But the point is, I do embrace this, like, this whole kind of puritanical ideology that, you know, America is sort of based on. I kind of reject. Like, I think we're a bunch of prudes, and I do think the Satanists are fun. I'll just leave it at that, so that I don't upset people further.
Well, a lot of people don't realize most Satanists, they're not really devil worshippers. They're almost like hedonists. They want to have fun by not hurting other people. Yeah.
Thank you. If you would like to edit the last 5 minutes and just insert the word, that would be fine with me. Because that's exactly it. And I'm not saying I'm a hedonist, but actually looking back at the pandemic, you know, I really miss my life. Like, I'm not saying I did, like, blood orgies on the regular, but I definitely, like, I used to go out all the time. I had a very active social life, and to suddenly be, like, just stuck home, and, like, Zoom meeting was supposed to be, you know, or a Zoom cocktail party, like, no sense. So, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not the same.
No. It's not.
You did mention previous boyfriends, and I read somewhere that you actually learned to speak Portuguese for one of your crushes.
It's true. I did. I don't know if I mean, it's Googleable at this point, but yeah, I lived in Argentina in high school. And so then when I went to college and just happened to be in school with, like, basically a Brazilian movie star, but nobody knew it. They didn't, you know, because this was here in the U.S., in Chicago. And I used to say to everybody, you guys don't know this, but he's famous in Brazil. And he's about to be famous here too. And so sure enough, and I mean, he's gorgeous. In my mind, I thought, I'm going to take this language. I'm going to need a little, you know, private tutoring on the side, and, you know, and then we all know how that ends. Well, it didn't end that way. But I learned Portuguese, you know, my Brazilian fans, like, I mean, they break the internet every time I post. So, hey, it worked out. It's one of those, the last things I thought about, you know, when you're like, when you want to be an aspiring actor and you're like, picking out your classes, you know, mostly it's like, oh, you know, singing, dancing, breathing class, you know, Feldenkrais, whatever. Sorry, my breathing teacher would be very upset at that. But now I've got the Satanists and the Christians and my breathing teacher on me. Who else can I upset in this interview? But anyway, yeah, Portuguese was the last thing I thought would, benefit my career. But hey, it has.
It's a weird world, yeah. And you mentioned Argentina, and one of the, because you also, like you said, you write, produce, and star in a lot of your own stuff. And one of the things you did was Girl in the Argentine Landscape. And I'm guessing that was based on your time in Argentina?
It was. It's sort of a coming-of-age story. About sort of finding myself far from home. You know, home is not always where we're from, but sometimes where we were from. And that's that story. It's sort of a Metamorphosis from kind of a big dork to a badass, if I may say so.
So you considered yourself a dork in high school?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was very, really high achieving. Like, I was obsessed with being the star of everything. Like, you name it. The Olympics of the Mind, Student Council, National Honor Society, school play, marching band, cheerleading, peer counseling, Spanish club, ballet, piano, private voice, on-camera acting. I think that's it. But I could have done that even faster back in the day. I mean, it was, yeah. I wanted my yearbook resume to be the longest. I don't know why I cared so much. I don't know. I was one of those, you know, very concerned with, you know, being the best. It's funny. I was like such an adult when I was a kid, and now I'm an adult and I'm a kid.
You're kind of pulling a Benjamin Buttons. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I was hoping you wouldn't notice. I am like 5 years old from the neck up, but that's the pandemic.
No, you look great. You look great. Another one, they got a lot of popular, it was very popular, was your carnival knowledge. And I believe it got a long, long play in LA.
It did. And not even, and it went on to go to the, you know, Edinburgh Fringe in Scotland and West End in London and off Broadway in New York. And I even toured around with a couple colleges. Yeah, that was more of a, if the first was a coming of age story, a nice, innocent, you know, tale of adolescence, this was more of a come of age, different spelling. A little more raunchy kind of sex comedy. Again, still no blood orgies, but there were, you know, it's look for love. It's a kind of Sun City, different coast, crappier shoes. What was the tagline? 6 million men in Los Angeles. She only needs one to work. I don't know if there's that many men in Los Angeles, but. Probably by now there are. Maybe back when I produced, the number was not that, but 3 million sounds better. I don't know.
you were part of the Groundlings Sunday Company, a really popular, I guess, comedy sketch group. And I know you had aspirations to be on Saturday Night Live. Are you still maybe looking to get on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, that's the dream always, forever and ever. I've gotten over it. You know, for a long time, I was just completely obsessed, especially while I was at the Groundlings and I saw my own friend getting it, you know, and it was like, ah, what's it got? You know, what do I got to do? Yeah, I mean, while I was at the Groundlings, Kristen Wiig got picked up there. Michaela Watkins, who did, I think, only a season or two at SNL, was actually in the Sunday Company with me. So like I said, I feel like, I can't say I got close, but it got close. You know, SNL was always sort of a thing where you were like, you know, any given Sunday, sure, Lorne Michaels could be out there, you don't know, or, you know, some scout. Yeah. I mean, at this point, I mean, again, oh, also Mikey Day, who's a regular now. And shoot, oh my God, Seth Meyers was a friend of mine in college.
Wow.
I felt like it was always just sort of like ships in the night, but, and I was just, that was sort of a no-brainer. Like, I just saw myself, that was such a fit. I mean, at this point, I kind of watch the show and I feel like I'm a little old. I mean, you know, with Benjamin Buttons and all, but who knows, you know, I could still host.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, if Lorne Michaels is watching, you got somebody right here that wants to host.
I'm sure he's watching this. I'm sure. He
I
has
hope he
nothing
is.
better to do.
That would be amazing if he was. Yeah, because being there were two things you knew you made it. One was being on Saturday Night Live, hosting, and another one was being on The Simpsons. So at
Oh,
least that's how I
yeah,
looked at it.
in The Simpsons. I wonder if I can see it. There it is. Yeah.
Yep.
There's some Simpsons. And actually, there's some Simpsons as well. That's some fan art, but yeah, I suppose.
Close enough, yeah.
I mean, in my mind, really, when I felt like I'd made it was when I was able to not return to my, day job. Being able to manage my time just the way I wanted to use it. That was huge. I mean, I feel like there's been a few moments where I was like, oh, this is a milestone. Huh, this is a crossroads. Like, oh, this is bucket list. So yeah, there's been a few of those for sure.
Yeah, well, I think you've made it. I think that milestone has been achieved.
Well, thank you, but I think it's, I mean, there's always something though. You know what I mean? Like, Julia Roberts is not sitting at home right now going, I'm fully cooked. You know what I mean? Like, there's some, she's got something that she still wants to get done, for sure. Or what are we here for?
Exactly, that's a
So
good
thank
point.
you. Sure. Like the Naomi that was, driving the Red Bull car, crashing it into shopping malls and dancing for money at bar mitzvahs and, spinning signs dressed as Lady Liberty would agree. I've definitely, I was able to quit all that and that's major. But I've got work to do. I can't like just retire and bake bread and do puzzles.
You really don't like puzzles, it doesn't sound like.
No, I was like, again, it was the hedonist, the Satanist in me was like, you guys, okay, yes, there's a pandemic, people are dying, this is terrible, but it doesn't mean you have to be lame. Like, what, all the losers overnight? Like, no, the debt, like, to be losers on top of it? This is insane.
Well, you want to know if you could tick off any other people? I think that might all the puzzle people and
Yeah,
all the bread
pretty
makers.
much
I think.
everyone else, like Christians, Satanists, there's that breathing teacher, and then the rest of everyone else. No, come on, come on. There's got to be some puzzle makers out there listening, going, yeah.
Yeah, maybe gain some new fans.
I don't right? There you go.
Do you have anything coming up that you're allowed to talk about that you want to plug?
Let me see here. I mean, yeah. Obviously, like I said, I can talk about AWS because I own it. Let's see. When is the El Paso Comic Con? It's in September.
September.
All right. Well, I will have some things happening on TV before then, but I can't talk about them now. No.
Ooh,
But
so
I can
guys, keep your
say
eyes
that
out.
people will want to meet me come September. Yeah. I mean, even those, even the ones I haven't upset in this interview. Yes.
Yeah, so everybody needs to keep an eye on TV to see your new project that we can't talk about.
Yeah, sorry, that's it's pretty broad. There's only what, like 100,000 channels at this point. But you can't miss me. I'll leave it at that.
Great, I'm looking forward to that. I have one last question, and I try to ask this of all the interviews, and this is probably the most important question that I'm going to ask you. It is cake or pie?
Cake.
Oh, any certain
No
kind of cake?
hesitation. Oh God. Not necessarily. I mean, chocolate, obviously. I do love a red velvet.
Oh,
Right?
Red Velvet's my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, I love all kinds of cake. I love really moist flour cake. I love like kind of like crunchy, what do you call it, when it's like multi-layered.
Yeah.
I mean, there I a cake.
Strongly on the side of cake.
Yes, heavy cake.
So if you want to get on our good side, guys, bring her some cake to El Paso Comic Con.
Oh my, yes, indeed. Actually, I have a history with El Paso.
Oh,
And
really?
actually, El Paso even has a place in this new one woman show.
Ooh.
I have there's a boyfriend, one of those boyfriends that needs to be, nervous about this special coming out. He it was from Mexico, and the two of us had this torrid, just totally star-crossed love affair back in the day. He lived down in Querétaro, which is close to the Mexico City, so quite, really very central. Of course, Denver, Chicago, Los Angeles, and the two of us would rendezvous back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And among our rendezvous spots, I once spent 8 hours sitting atop a wheelie bag in Juárez, which is of course on the Mexico side of El Paso, which some might say was probably not a wise use of 8 hours. That's how long it took for him to get his butt there. I guess he was on Latin time, but I was again, that's not a great, not advised. Hey, I'm still here, and I think maybe I don't get wrong. I knowing that it'll be so close, and there's part of me is like kind of has to call and say, hey, I'll be right there. But I also know it's kind of ill-advised. I have friends that would be like, no, Naomi, that's like it's like a heroin, heroin addict having just like a bit of, just the tip. It's like it's not. I probably shouldn't, but I probably will. Anyway, it would be nice if we had, a handler on hand just around to like make sure I don't get, kidnapped or, chopped into pieces and sprinkled across the Mojave there. That would be great, just because, let's face it, I'm making him famous against his, not against his will, but just unbeknownst to him, frankly.
So this trip to El
Yeah,
Paso
there's
might
that.
be your next show.
It
Your
might
next
be,
autobiographical show, yeah.
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I never know where inspiration's gonna come, and it entirely could. I mean, like I said, there's a whole there's a rendezvous in El Paso, there's a Comic-Con in Monterrey, Mexico that makes an appearance. And yeah, you don't know.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Now, not only have we pissed off, XYZ, but now no one will ever date me again. Period. They'll be like, thank
I don't
you.
believe that.
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. Now they know to be on their best behavior.
Yes, or they're going to end up in your show.
Exactly.
Oh my God. This has been so much fun, but I know you're busy, so I'm going to go ahead and end it here. I want to thank you for answering all my silly questions, and we are looking forward to seeing you in September at El Paso Comic Con.
All my answers. And like I said, feel free to edit if you need to, not alienate a certain group. I fear though our interview will be like 3 seconds long if that's the case. So
No, I was going to say we're really looking forward to seeing you here in El Paso.
and I as well. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or E? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.